Good afternoon, friends, and you're listening to EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. Time had been very difficult. Lots of people were affected mentally, physically, and financially. Today, we have the sixth show in the Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing COVID-19 Response Weekly Series. Today's episode is entitled Skills for Psychological Recovery. I want to welcome your host, Noel Davis, Program Manager of Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program responding to COVID-19 through March of 2021. Welcome, Noel, on EBC Radio. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you, Alka. I'm doing well. Good afternoon to all of our EBC listeners.
Well, we know you have been on EBC Radio, but can you remind our listeners about the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program?
Yes, thank you, as always, to EBC Studio for providing this platform so we can reach the South Asian community in northern and central New Jersey of our program coverage. I will have to remind our listeners that the New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, which is a CCP, began responding to COVID-19 in April 2020 through 12 nonprofit providers and social service entities. And that was in collaboration with the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Disaster and Terrorism Branch, through a FEMA SAMHSA grant. Our Hope and Healing program at Catholic Charities is actually a partnership comprised of teams located within Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Newark, the Diocese of Metuchen, Diocese of Patterson, and the Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner. The program is currently responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's into March of this coming year, with disaster response crisis counseling. And so that is actually a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work. Our program is comprised of just regular community members who are not mental health clinicians, but they've been trained in the CCP model to offer short-term peer-based emotional support and information and any kind of referral pertaining to a given disaster, so in this case, COVID-19. In this weekly series, we are hoping to provide tips to improve mental health and resiliency, as well as highlight resources that might be needed by those impacted by COVID-19, and really by all of us that are living in this new environment created by a pandemic over the past 19 months. And we are looking to specifically tailor our content to our South Asian community listening whenever we can.
Well, thank you. We are so happy to have this series here on EBC Radio. So, Noel, can you tell us about today's show? Typically, you have brought resources to our listeners, but I understand today you and I are talking about some of your own program content.
Yes, a big part of what a disaster response crisis counseling program does is to connect community members to resources and programs that they might benefit from as a result of impacts from a disaster, so like COVID-19 in this case. And I've been very fortunate to date that we've been able to bring to this series on EBC Radio some of the partners that we've made within the community so that they could speak about these resources that they offer and educate our listeners about their service. But today, I want to spend some time talking about kind of the other side of the work that my program does. We also offer emotional support, and we teach psychological resiliency skills.
Well, I think that would be wonderful, but this sounds like a large task for you, for us today. Is there a piece of that work we can focus on? What do you think is a top priority for our listeners to learn about?
Yes, Alka, you are very correct. I cannot hope to cover today all of the benefits and the importance of the work that my program does. But if I have to prioritize, I would think that Skills for Psychological Recovery, which is abbreviated SPR, is a really good place to start because it's a framework that can be used to build kind of mental toughness and resiliency among anyone recovering from impacts of this pandemic, but also has really great implications and applications for many instances of traumatic stress that our listeners can use throughout their lives in other instances.
Well, yes, that sounds very promising. So what is this framework, Skills for Psychological Recovery?
So I encountered the SPR, or Skills for Psychological Recovery model, during a training I recently received from my grant oversight at New Jersey Disaster and Terrorism Branch under DMHAS. And this training was developed by the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. And before we start, I do want to make note that I'm not a certified trainer of this material, but I'm just bringing it today to offer to our listeners so that they can benefit from some of the things that I had learned and that I and my team members have begun passing on to our program participants. SPR is not actually really as technical as it sounds when you use the abbreviation that way, because really it's just a set of skills that we teach to assist survivors in reducing post-disaster distress and really in moving forward in their lives. And like any skills, they're best learned from a knowledgeable source and learned with hands-on and individualized implementation by the survivor, and they will take some practice. So while we can't hope to do all the work of SBR here today, I do want to introduce the framework, and then I would encourage our listeners that if they want to implement the framework in their lives, they can always reach out to us at 732-204-6510, and they'll be able to reach a crisis counselor that can provide support and give suggestions for handling any specific concerns that they might have about the skills that, you know, I'm going to teach us today. And there are five of these skills we'll go through.
Well, I'm excited to learn what these five skills are. But first, I want to back up for a minute because I hear you use the word survivor. And it occurs to me that many of our listeners who are in fact survivors of this disaster may not think of themselves that way. Can you explain this usage to us?
Yes, thank you for making that point, actually. I think that it's very true for this particular disaster being a pandemic because, you know, normally we can pretty easily identify a disaster survivor as people who have come face to face with, let's say, a natural disaster like a hurricane or a fire, and it floods or destroys their home or their community, might even bring death into their household. So while they themselves have lived through this event and survived, that's easy to see. And so, you know, of course, in COVID-19, some of us have had some pretty similar overlap where, you know, maybe someone's contracted the virus and they might have nearly died or felt like that they were going to die, and then they survived. So, you know, of course, that person is going to consider themselves a survivor of the pandemic. But I would like to consider in some ways, really, all of us are survivors of the COVID-19 pandemic to date. Because this was a very silent and undercover kind of disaster and threat. So really, anyone who just went to the grocery store, for instance, might have unknowingly been exposed to this virus and survived. So, and more than that, the precautions that we've all had to take to survive this disaster to date might have actually caused traumatic impacts among our listeners that they might not even recognize right now.
Well, this is a great point, Noel. How can listeners know if there are disaster impacts to their lives from this pandemic?
Okay, so I would refer to Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which is abbreviated SAMHSA, for an answer to that question, because they are really the definitive source in recognizing disaster trauma as far as I'm concerned. The website that I will reference is SAMHSA.gov, which is SAMHSA.gov, if anyone wants to visit it. And they tell us that after a disaster, it's common to experience physical, behavioral, and emotional changes. And these typical reactions are going to include a list of things, anxiety, fear, overwhelming sadness, anger, frustration, guilt, which is, you know, more common than people like to recognize, disconnection or imposed self-isolation. And that one's tricky in this pandemic, and we'll get into that later. Numbness, not caring about anything or anyone, inability to feel either joy or sadness. Stress is a big one. It can manifest as chronic stomach aches, headaches, physical pains that you can't identify a reason for, jumpiness or being easily startled, changes in your sleep pattern, an increase or decrease in your energy or activity level, trouble remembering things or concentrating, because that could be a sign that your mind is maybe distracted by unaddressed impacts. Maybe if you've noticed that you've increased your alcohol, tobacco, drug use, even prescription medication, because that could just be an attempt to reduce distressing feelings or forget what you're going through. And so this is a sign of traumatic impact as well. And lastly, difficulty talking about the pandemic or listening to anyone talk about this pandemic, because there's a fine line between being tired of talking about the disaster that I think is affecting many of us after so many months, but there's also a traumatic avoidance of the topic. That's, you know, hard to identify the difference between those. And really, I would reiterate that there's no set timeline for when these reactions may surface. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if maybe you had COVID or a family member, you saw an impact a year ago at this point, you might have been, you know, just kind of going along with your life and not realizing that you haven't really addressed what happened to you until now you're starting to see some of this reactions that are surfacing. So if anyone is having a hard time to figure out if their or a loved one are suffering from the disaster impacts that I've mentioned, they should definitely just reach out to us. So again, our number is 732-204-6510.
Thank you for that clarification, Noel. I agree that it sounds like there are many ways that disaster impacts can manifest, so that probably most of us are seeing some of these impacts to some extent. So many of our listeners are truly disaster survivors. So then can you tell us about these skills we can use to address these issues you identified if we recognize them in ourselves or our loved ones?
Yeah. So the five SPR skills, which is skills for psychological recovery, that can help us to address these impacts, work through them so we can feel healthier and better able to cope, will include 1, building problem-solving skills, 2, promoting positive activities, 3, managing reactions, 4, promoting helpful thinking, and 5, building healthy social connections.
Okay, so let's take them one at a time. Please explain to us the first skill.
Okay, so the first skill is problem solving. Survivors have continuing problems and ongoing adversities resulting from a disaster that can add significantly to their stress level, distracts from our self-care, and increases our traumatic stress reaction. So problem solving skills are about breaking these problems down into more manageable chunks, developing a range of ways to respond, and then weighing out the possible choices to help you thoughtfully decide what is the action I'm going to take. So with problem solving, it is important to first prioritize by asking, what is causing me the most distress or harm? And then you are going to, after you answer that question, identify what you can do to resolve this problem. You're going to set some concrete goals with deadlines and hold yourself accountable. And for that, I would say it is better even to have a friend, a partner, or even one of my counselors to help you in doing that, in this brainstorming and in keeping yourself accountable to your steps.
Well, so what might be an example or what this looks like? Can you explain to our listeners?
Yes, thanks. It's probably better if we give an example. So a typical conversation that I have had involves maybe an income change as a result of a layoff in the household, because the social distancing created a lot of impacts in the economy, especially in particular fields. So there may have been a layoff that caused financial strain in the household, and then that threatened maybe that household's basic need for food or housing, not to mention just the emotional impact that it could have between yourself and your spouse, your children, family members. And so increasing income is going to become a clear priority there. So we're going to brainstorm ways to do this. If your original job is maybe not hiring anymore, then are there other jobs that you might consider? If you maybe are already back at work, but you're still behind on bills and you just can't catch up, then are there resources in the community that can help you in paying your arrears so you can get back on track? So, you know, depending on your situation and what your options are, after you decide on your goal, you would then want to break it down into step-by-step actions with very concrete ways to keep yourself accountable. All right, so it would be something like, I'm going to apply for 5 job postings outside my normal field by Friday. Or I'm going to research and call 10 different agencies that might be able to help me with my unpaid bills, again, by Friday. All right, and then you would want to give yourself maybe a little reward if you met those steps as you work toward the larger goal. Because this problem and the problem solving, whenever, if it's causing you enough distress to have to implement this kind of activity, then it's probably not going to be something that's resolved really quickly or easily. So you want to give yourself a little reward along the way because it's a long haul to make these changes. And the most difficult part of this skill, I would say, is that it may be that you're not actually in a position to resolve a situation that's causing you distress, even though you're trying. So in that instance, even though it's important to keep trying, you're probably going to have to turn to some of these other skills.
Well, it's a great example. So now what is the next skill you would recommend in that case?
So the next skill I recommend is positive activities. After a disaster, it is very common for people to stop doing the things that they used to find enjoyable or rewarding, or even just something that is personally meaningful to you. Of course, this pandemic disrupted that for a lot of us. And so then people can become depressed or withdrawn when they're not engaging in the pleasurable activities that they used to. And they might not even realize that that's the reason why. So we should practice this skill by making a plan to increase meaningful and positive activities in your schedule. And this will build your resiliency and bring more fulfillment and enjoyment in your life. So, Alka, I'm going to put this one to you. What are some positive activities that you do for self-care as an example for our listeners?
Well, you're putting me on spot right now. See, I usually, whenever I have hardships, I try to talk to my kids. And that gives me a lot of positive energy. And always call a friend and sometimes praise them. Or, you know, when you praise them, they definitely praise you back, right? So, you know, that I feel it just brings some positivity in you. Because everybody is full of stress and worries. And in this time, you know, you just keep solving the problems and keep trying to come out of those and see how you can be the same person as others.
That's great. Yeah, so I have to agree. Something as simple as a planned phone call with a friend, especially if we're still trying to be safe, and maybe you normally would have gotten a cup of coffee together, but you can still plan a coffee date over the phone. And that reaching out to a friend is actually going to touch on some of the other skills here. So maybe we'll move on then to our next skill. So great job.
Yes. Thank you. So what is the next
skill? No problem.
Yeah.
So our next skill is managing reactions. When people have been exposed to extreme stress and fear as a result of a disaster, their bodies are put on alert, just kind of physical thing that happens, that fight or flight, and we're ready for danger. So even relaxing your body can make you feel very vulnerable in that moment, even though there's not actually any threat that's happening. You just have this stress in your mind. So in the absence of real danger, these reactions are very unnecessary and may have really bad effects for our health, for our mood, our relationships. So you can practice to better manage distressing physical and emotional reactions with helpful self-talk, identifying unproductive, unhelpful thoughts that you're thinking to yourself, and you replace them with helpful ones. So, for instance, instead of, I'm so frustrated and angry that I cannot see my friends and family this holiday season because this pandemic is still here, you know, that's not helpful. That's putting me in a negative place. So instead, I'm going to say something like, I'm really proud of my loved ones for prioritizing their health and my health and for keeping us safe. I'm grateful I'm able to celebrate this holiday, even if it's not in the way I normally would. And I'm going to think of new ways to enjoy my time this year. And so I would recommend that, you know, you can brainstorm these ideas in a journal if that helps to kind of, you know, write down the negative emotion and then write, okay, this is the positive thing I'm going to say to myself instead. And it's really important, I would say, for this, replacement self-talk to practice it in your daily life to help you reduce the anxiety and stress. It's not something we do every day necessarily. And you're going to learn how to think through maybe more complex things once you do that, like memories. You can replace negative memories with, oh, okay, I don't want to cycle around this bad memory that I have. Let me think of this positive memory that I have instead. And again, that's just going to help us to better master this skill.
Well, I really like this one because it is not something I always do, but I see why this would need practice to master. I think this need for practice may also apply to the fourth skill you mentioned, which I think was promoting helpful thinking.
Alka, yes, you are correct. And so practice definitely makes perfect with these skills. Certainly managing reactions and promoting helpful thinking are ones that we kind of have to practice because they're not something we do every day. Mm-hmm. After a disaster, people's thoughts about the world and themselves will change. And that's common then for survivors to see the world as maybe more dangerous. And they might have difficulty trusting other people, seeing themselves as unable to cope. So in order for people to change their emotional reactions, they will need to change the way they think about the things that happened to them. So once you begin to practice this skill, you'll learn how your thoughts actually do influence your emotions. You'll become aware of what you're saying to yourself, replacing negative thoughts with more helpful thoughts, which will lead to more positive emotions.
So it is important to do this even when we're not under stress, so we can be ready when those stressful situations come and they tend to cloud our mind.
Thank you. I will try to practice these skills this week so I can be ready. I think we have one more skill to cover, correct?
Yes. So our fifth and final skill is building healthy social connections. Social support is one of the most consistently identified protective factors in studies of disaster survivors. Often the best way to cope is to have other people to talk to and to do things with. And as you identified, Alka, in saying that one of the things you do is to reach out to people in your life, disaster can result in people feeling really isolated and alone. And so it can feel impossible to build new or reestablish existing relationships. Practicing this skill will help you learn how to more effectively seek support and give support to others. And I understand that social connections have been really challenging for many survivors of this pandemic, especially if they may still wish to remain physically distant from others, because COVID-19 contractions are still a very real threat, and that's especially among the unvaccinated. So I encourage and challenge everyone to think creatively about finding other ways to make social connections. We are really fortunate right now that technology can allow us to meet with others while we're at home, and we can use virtual platforms to do that. So for anyone who's not sure how to get started in building virtual relationships, I invite you to please visit the resources tab on my New Jersey Hope and Healing website, and you'll see there a listing of monthly virtual groups that we are holding online because we are trying to solve this problem and bring people together. So that website is www.catholiccharitiestrenton.org/services/hope-and-healing.
Thank you, Noel. You have given us a lot to think about and practice. So do you have any closing thoughts about the SPR framework you have taught us?
Yes. I want to close by reminding our listeners that the goal of SPR is to teach you new ways to deal with all of the changes resulting from this disaster by exploring new actions, thoughts, and ways to respond. Even if you're not able to change your situation, once you've learned the SPR skills, you can change the way you think about and react to your situation. You can reduce your distress. You can improve your resilience for the next time that you feel distressed. And so even if you're not seeing your own life, in your own life, the negative reactions to this disaster that we identified earlier, you can practice these skills now, and you can be a model to others that are struggling. I really want you to just be the change that you want to see in your community.
How wonderful. What a great positive note to end on. I'm so glad our program is providing these services to New Jersey residents impacted by the pandemic, which is really all of us in at least some way. Before we sign off, please tell us what is the best way for our listeners to contact you specifically for more information on what you have shared today. And we have just 30 seconds left.
Okay, so quickly then, our listeners can email the program at hopeandhealing@ccbom.org, myself, Noelle Davies, at ndavies@cctrenton.org, or again by phone, 732-204-6510.
Well, so Noelle, thank you very much for bringing this information to our ABC listeners. I want to also encourage our listeners that if you or a friend or neighbor needs help with COVID-19 impacts, please call NJ Hope and Healing at 732-204-6510. Help and support are only a phone call away. Do not forget to tune in again next week.